This episode of Intelligent Medicine brought to you by the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuture, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Dr. Jill Barron. She's a physician here in New York who's got a great new book, Don't Mess with Stress. It's a simple guide to managing stress, and it's a useful, handy compendium of ways that you can address stress. And yeah, we don't really need that. Of course, everything is so mellow now in 2021, now that we've got 2020 in the rearview mirror, right? No biggie. you know, clearly there's a lot of things that are challenging us in the coming year. Jill, I wanted to ask you, you know, you're a physician, you've got a prescription pad. What's your take on the use of anti-anxiety medications? Is there a place for them, or are you unalterably opposed to them? I know that your book accentuates lifestyle solutions, but what's the perspective on that?
Yeah, well, like I said before, there's not just one way to help people. And for people who are really anxious, who've tried everything and need anti-anxiety medicine, I think there's a place for it. I mean, there are risks of addiction and also potentially dementia, I mean, long-standing, with taking it for a long time. But I believe also in quality of life, and if people have tried all the natural things and it hasn't worked, I think that while a patient is hopefully in therapy and trying to work on these things, that if that would calm them down and help them function better, I think there's a place for it for them.
Indeed. So let's switch gears. Let's talk about therapy, because therapy, at least, is a non-pharmacological way of addressing stress. You talk in the book about a form of therapy that is particularly suitable for dealing with anxiety, and CBT. What does that stand for?
Right. CBT is cognitive behavioral therapy. Yeah, I speak about CBT and DBT. So CBT is called cognitive behavioral therapy, and what it's about is it takes people's, if I may say this, irrational thoughts, or thoughts that may be irrational, or anxiety thoughts, they could be irrational, and what they do is they challenge it with different thoughts, try and replace them with different thoughts, or challenge the assumptions to see if they're valid. So let's say a person was a medical student and was studying for an exam, and the medical student, he or she failed the exam and was devastated. Now, there are a few ways that medical student could think. The medical student could think, I'm no good, I'll never become a doctor, how am I going to get through? Or a more healthy way of thinking about it would be, well, first to find out why he or she failed the test. Did they not prepare? Did they not get enough sleep? You know, did they not eat well? Different things. And then maybe kind of diagnose maybe why they didn't. Or if they did do it, did do the proper things, but it was for whatever reason they choked and they couldn't do it, then another way what they could say is, okay, I failed this test. You know, what could I do better next time? What could I do better? I can get help. I can maybe get some tutoring. Maybe I'm not approaching this the right way. So they can replace these negative thoughts with thoughts that are more rational and more helpful to them so that it decreases the anxiety.
Mm-hmm. There's a word for what happens to your thought processes when you're suffering from anxiety, and it's called catastrophizing. And I'll give you an example. I just dealt with a young patient who came down with COVID, and she had a very mild case of it. She's very young. She's a young mom. And the whole family got it, but they had very mild symptoms. But she's doing a lot of reading about it. And what she's hearing is that even though she feels fine, she's recovered fully, that people can get strokes, unbeknownst to them, weeks later, they can get a stroke. And so she's convinced that she is subject to the possibility of out of the blue getting a stroke. Mm-hmm. So I've done a lot of reality checking with her just to, around that subject. But she tends to gravitate, like many people, like many of us, virtually all anxieties have a real basis, that there is a possibility, right, however minute, that something or other bad could happen. So how do you kind of recalibrate that so that you take a more realistic approach to situations rather than always accentuating the most dire possibilities?
Well, I think what you have done with her, and I think is, again, to kind of have the person choose what I would call a more wise option. Now, and also I'm calling this, I'm taking this from what's called DBT. So, if I may, DBT mm-hmm. is an outgrowth of CBT. And DBT stands for Dialectical Behavioral Therapy. It was created by Dr. Marsha Linehan, a psychologist. Initially, it was for people who had what's called borderline personality disorders. But now it's being used in many different cases, even for healthy people. Mm-hmm. And it's divided into four categories: emotional regulation, mindfulness, interpersonal effectiveness, and distress tolerance. And so this is another example where, with this catastrophizing, this person could challenge these thoughts and to try and soothe herself. These techniques, these four modules, are designed to help people think better and act healthier, and to try and be more rational. They have a thing called what she calls the wise mind, Dr. Linehan, and the wise mind is a combination of the rational mind and the emotional mind. So with your patient, the person is very emotional, very frightened, understandably. Mm-hmm. There could be a risk, mm-hmm. maybe.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of scary information that's amplified out there because, if the headlines were, COVID isn't so bad, most people are fine, I don't think people would spend that much time, clicking on stories and watching the news apprehensively.
Exactly.
There's a negative bias in the media, for sure.
Exactly. And so I could understand this patient's fear. And if the patient just focuses on that, it could be really devastating, and it could make her sick, from all the stress. The thing is to try and to have some equanimity, and to kind of have the rational mind. Well, so the rational mind, would look at the facts and say, these are the facts. These are the chances maybe of you getting a stroke. The emotional mind is that kind of, saying, oh my God, I'm very frightened. I'm going to get that. But the combination maybe is to kind of look at, what would a wise mind say? How would a wise mind, or how would your wise mind approach the situation? Or if you were someone's mother or sister, what would you, in a wise way, how would you calm that person down and to kind of reflect on about the stroke? So some of the thoughts that might be that's a wise mind might be, do the don't mess with stress, do the basic things that are healthy for you. Get sleep, build up your immunity, decrease your risk of getting COVID, take care of yourself. And that way you're empowering the patient, empowering yourself mm-hmm. to do good things for them. Maybe take certain supplements that you recommend that would empower them and make them increase their immunity. So that's what I would kind of focus on.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information, order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuture. Farm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to today's guest, Dr. Jill Barron. So where does meditation fit into that? You're a big fan of meditation, you know, having started it as a teenager and then having pursued it as a lifelong part of your routine. The concern is that people who are very anxious might sit there, with their eyes closed, and a parade of very negative, fearful thoughts might dance in front of their eyes. So is meditation effective when you're suffering from anxiety? Can it be potentially overwhelmed by your anxious state?
That's another great question. And I think that if people are motivated and they follow the instruction of there are different types of meditation. Mindfulness, which really focuses on, the breath. And then when you get these thoughts, you're supposed to shift your attention back to the breath. And it requires a discipline to kind of do that. And when you meditate, and I do transcendental meditation, which is a mantra-based meditation. And similarly, when you start thinking the mantra in an effortless way, and then when you have thoughts all of a sudden, which could be scary thoughts or any kind of thoughts that don't make sense, you then very, very gently shift your attention back to the mantra. And I think that by kind of following the instructions of the practice, whatever type of meditation it is, will help you develop a discipline, and hopefully as you do more and more meditation, which is incremental, will help you calm down and try and deal with these thoughts. But I think, look, there may be certain cases where people just are too jittery. Now, there are other types of meditation, for example, like a Qigong or Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm. Which these you also practice. You're a Qigong yes. practitioner. And yeah. let's oh, spell it, because some people don't. Yes. It's got a weird spelling.
It's Q-I, but it's really pronounced Qi, and Gong, G-O-N-G, or Gong. Mm-hmm. And Tai Chi is spelled T-A-I, and then Qi, C-H-I. And I think that Qigong was the originator and Tai Chi was the outgrowth. They're similar. I find that those are very calming. They can be very, very calming, and it also, when you do them, you're very present because you're trying to follow these moves, and that's also very, very good for your brain, and they have beneficial effects which could help you. So if a person is feeling jittery, that's one thing you could do. And there's also what's called sky breathing, which is from the Art of Living, which is also a wonderful technique, and what this is I believe it's three different types of breathing techniques, and you do them, and then when you're done, it's over about 15 minutes or so, and then when you're done, you're also in a different state, a calmer state. Mm-hmm. And then you could add if you want to add TM to that, or if you want to add but they have their own meditation technique that also gives you a deeper meditation. I know it's a lot of time, and the people may not want to spend a lot of time, but even if you just start by doing a little bit of meditation, by just following sitting comfortably, closing your eyes, maybe taking a half a minute just to sit there, and then just following the breath as it goes in through your nose and out through your nose, or out through your mouth. And then before you know it, you're having thoughts about what you're going to have for dinner or what this person may have done for you, done to you. And then when you realize that you're having the thoughts, you then, even in mid-thought, very gently go back to your awareness on the breath, on that breathing. And set a timer. If you want to start and do 1 minute, do 1 minute. But I think it's a good idea to aim for about 20 minutes twice a day. And I know that's a big commitment. And I don't always get my meditations in twice a day. I rarely miss, but I don't always get them in. But it does make a difference for me when I meditate. It just makes me, it kind of smooths things out a little bit. And if I'm having a tough day, and again, even though I'm a quote-unquote stress expert, if I could even call myself that, I'm always learning, and I'm not perfect. And I, you know, with yesterday's, what happened at the Capitol was very stressful for me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I was trying to use all my different mm-hmm. techniques, and I wasn't perfect yesterday.
here's what I did, you know, after watching, you know, this riotous stuff on cable news. I decided enough, and I watched a rerun of Animal House with John Belushi, and I just found, you know, those innocent antics, you know, which were depicted in supposedly the time of the movie was 1962. Just, I don't know, it just kind of made it, it just made it better somehow. Okay, you know, it was like, you know, panty raids and toga parties. I don't know, it just put it in perspective for me. So we're talking about the breathing. There is actually something about breathing that can reset. You know, we in part one, we talked about the sympathetic versus the parasympathetic nervous system. You can actually enact a switch on your nervous system just by breathing in a certain way. Isn't that correct? It's very important.
Yes. Yes. And I say to our listeners out there that when in doubt, breathe. Just take a deep breath in through your nose, and you can breathe out through your mouth long and slow, and just kind of keep on doing that slowly so you don't hyperventilate. But that can interrupt the stress cycle. Just it put you more in exactly what you're saying, Ron, is put you more into a parasympathetic and peaceful mode.
And wise parents do that with their kids sometimes. You know, when their kids are about to be in a meltdown, it's like, hold on, just breathe for a minute. And you know, it's actually nice to impart this technique to children early. I think one fault in our education is that, you know, we teach people a lot of skills, but we don't teach them the skill of self-regulation, which is a very, very important life skill. You know, you can be the smartest person in the world. You know, you can do all kinds of amazing intellectual feats. But if you don't have the ability to regulate your emotions, you're going to be a much less functional adult and productive, mature person.
I know, and that's where DBT comes in. I feel that DBT should be taught in the schools. It should be taught like in elementary school up through high school, you know, because it teaches people about conflict resolution mm-hmm. and yeah. distress tolerance, all these things that we need help in, all of us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you talked about these, you know, Asian forms of exercise, Qigong, Tai Chi. But what about just general exercise as a stress buster? You know, I find that during the pandemic lockdown, it's very important for me to get outside, you know, even in the inclement weather, and either, you know, do a brisk walk or, you know, get on my bike and, you know, go up and down the hills in New Jersey. Or Long Island or wherever I happen to be situated, or take a run. And, you know, I consciously, as I run, you know, and I'm out of breath, I try to visualize that I'm exhaling fear, because there's an element of fear that I think we all carry around with us. Maybe,
yes.
Some, you know, a few rare exceptions, but most of us are carrying around a burden of fear. And as I run and, you know, I'm just trying to exhale all that bad emotional energy, and it kind of works for me. I mean, that to me is a form of meditation.
Right. I think that's very, very helpful. And I think that being in nature also, I mean, is incredibly helpful. When, if you combine both, when I was quarantined, I was quarantining in Connecticut, and I was very grateful to be out of the city, and I was surrounded by nature. Now, there were bears there, which kind of increased my sympathetic nervous system. That took the joy out of going for a walk.
Yeah.
Or going hiking. That was, you know, a deal breaker after a while. But just going for a walk. And I heard somewhere that if you go for a walk, and ideally a walk before 9 o'clock, is very, very good for your mind and your body. And it may even, you know, kind of reset your circadian rhythm.
Yeah.
And it may help your sleep. And don't stress if you can't get out before 9. I don't necessarily get out before 9 in terms of trying to do this. But just even if the sun's not out, it can do something, I believe, to your, you know, the circadian rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very helpful. Just being outside, you know, there's a term called biophilia.
Yeah.
Which is a term coined by, I'm blanking on his name. Not Gould. I will get it. Anyway, and the term, it means kind of being affected by the senses. You know, kind of bio and philia, love of nature. It was it's E.O. Wilson, Edward O. Wilson.
Yep.
Termed it, and that just like kind of we have that humans have an innate, I'm quoting this here, tendency to seek connections with nature and other forms of life, and that is really, I think, so beneficial for our physiology to be in nature if we're lucky. If you can't be in nature, maybe get a plant. Just having the plant, you know, is helpful, you
right.
know, that kind of thing. And also having pets, you know, when you have pets. And social connections, that increases oxytocin, the
mm-hmm.
bonding hormone,
mm-hmm.
which is really, really helpful and healthful.
Right. And these days, I think we're all suffering from oxytocin deficiency because of
yeah.
inability to hug people, see people, you know, be with people. Zoom conferences just don't release a lot of oxytocin. So you're talking about circadian rhythms. As circadian rhythms key into the subject of sleep, and you have a whole section on sleep, because sleep, I mean, it's kind of a two-way street. When you're anxious, you can't sleep, and when you're sleep-deprived, your anxiety soars. So how do you break that vicious cycle?
Yeah, that's, you know, sleep is one of the toughest things that I still struggle with, but I'm definitely getting much better. I mean, so with sleep, you have to find out why you're not sleeping. There could be many reasons why a person is not sleeping. It could have a structural meaning in your body. You know, do you have big tonsils, or is your tongue in the way, or are your adenoids in the way, or do you have something going on with your nose? It could be something structural.
Even obesity itself.
Exactly, you know, obesity, which can increase the risk of sleep apnea. So you can have sleep apnea, or interrupted sleep, not breathing well, for many reasons. You can have what's called GERD, gastroesophageal reflux, which is causing you to choke or cough at night, which is going to interrupt your sleep. It could be a partner problem. Maybe your partner's snoring, and that's keeping you up. So there are many reasons why people can't sleep, and the important thing is to go see your physician, I believe, and try and get that sorted out. And if you can, then that person, that doctor, may need you to refer you to different people, including a sleep specialist, where you can get a sleep study and to see and maybe get a diagnosis as to what's going on. Now, in terms of basic, like a pre-flight routine, I call it, almost like, you know, kind of a pre-bedtime routine, I think it's important to do a few things. One, it's important to be consistent. And I do struggle with this, but I'm getting better, as I mentioned. So it's important to have a set bedtime and a set waking time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also good not to go to bed after midnight because, you know, cortisol increases and the hormones like ghrelin and leptin can get affected, and it can make you hungry, and people can actually gain weight when they're up past midnight. You're also not making the best choices when you're up. You get hungry, and you may be eating sweets and high-fat foods and processed foods, so that could also contribute to gaining weight.
More alcohol,
so having,
too.
Or alcohol, exactly. And people think that alcohol helps, but it really doesn't. And so you have to have a set bedtime and a set a waking up time. And then there's like a wind down period that we're supposed to have. About an hour before bedtime, at least, we should turn off our screens, which is really difficult because the blue light affects us and affects melatonin, and that makes the, it affects that whole cycle. So we can, by keeping the lights on and the screens, I mean, really, it could affect, you know, the whole melatonin thing, which helps people sleep. Hormone, very potent antioxidant as well. And so it's important to kind of calm down before sleep in that hour. Don't eat for at least 3 hours before you go to bed. That's also better for your brain. You also should do things that are calm. Maybe take a hot bath with magnesium, because magnesium helps. So Epsom salts, right, mm-hmm. can help people calm down. And again, anything we're talking about today, people should speak with their physician, because, you know, I'm making some generalized recommendations, but they should really, before they take them on, they should speak with their doctors or health providers. So calming down, reading before bed, and it's recommended not to read in bed. Apparently, you know, it's recommended that people just use the bed for sleep, associate the bed just with sleep and sexual activity, because that way you kind of limit the bed to that, and where you might, so you don't associate with it being in a stressful place. So maybe reading an easy general, not like a stimulating book, reading a calm book, listening to some soothing music, maybe lighting some candles, just calming down, not watching the news. These are things to calm us down and get us in the parasympathetic mode and ready for bed.
Indeed. And what are your favorite supplements for stress? Do you have any that you think can actually help with taming cortisol or reducing anxiety?
Yeah, well, I like L-theanine, L-theanine, T-H-E-A-N-I-N-E. That's been shown, you know, to be helpful to calm people down. Magnesium is another one that can be helpful. Herbs like ashwagandha can also be helpful with immunity and maybe help people calm down. These are the basic, you know, things that I think are helpful. And also chamomile can help people in terms of sleep. And melatonin, you know, it's gotten a little confusing now, because now I've heard that we shouldn't prescribe so much melatonin. You know, there's different research now, I think. I'm not sure if you know, but I was speaking to a psychiatrist colleague of mine. She said, oh, I just give 1.5 milligrams at
mm-hmm.
night.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm hearing that people can, you know, 6 milligrams people have been taking and that kind of thing. So that has to be sorted out. So... and there's also a device. It's called the Fisher-Wallace device. I didn't put that in my book. Mm-hmm. It's a device where you have these two, like, sponges attached to, like, electrodes, I think they are, and mm-hmm. there's a band around you, mm-hmm. like a tennis band.
Yeah.
And that's been shown to also help people sleep and also to help with mood.
That's there is a similar device that it's actually one of our sponsors, Nuvana, the Zen device that they make. It's actually... something that you put little earphones in your ear, and you can attach it to your iPhone or your iPad, and, you know, listen to your favorite music, and it delivers a very low electrical pulse to the ear, which is kind of the gateway, as you know, through studying acupuncture, the gateway to the vagal nerve, and you get sort of a vagal nerve stimulation, VNS. Which helps to boost the parasympathetic tone, and it increases relaxation. It's kind of like, you know, high-tech meditation, you know, delivered via electric impulses. So that's similar to the Fisher device that you're
Wallace device.
Talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, I also, yes, I also talk about, with CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, there's now an app. There's a kind of a thing, it's called CBTI, so Cognitive Behavioral Therapy - Insomnia.
Hmm.
And the literature is saying now that CBTI is better than medication with a C, medication.
Wow.
And that, yeah, CBTI is actually a very good app. It's free. It was created with both Stanford University and the Veterans Administration. It's called CBTI Coach. And you can get this on the App Store, and I actually have it, and it can help you. There are other apps, I'm sure, but this is one that's free, and that it can help you with your sleep and track your sleep. They give you tools to listen to. They use CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. So, for example, let's say you're up all night, and then you would say, "Oh my God, I'm ruined. My day is ruined." They have a little statement that you can read, which says, "It's okay. I can do this. I will survive this day, and I could do better." And then they have other things to track your sleep, and you put in your hour when you went to bed, when you wake up, if you woke up during the middle of the night. It's really, really good. And if people follow this, it can be incredibly helpful.
I'll put a link into that in our description of the podcast. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what you have to offer, because you've got a health and well-being newsletter as well as the new book, Don't Mess with Stress. Tell us how our listeners can access that.
Sure. So my website is www.dr, as in Dr. Jill, JillBaron.com. So it's www.drjillbaron.com. If you go to the site, there's a place there where you can sign up to get a free gift, some stress management techniques, and you can subscribe to my newsletter, which I send out about once a month at this time, and you can have access to that newsletter. And I have prior newsletters on my blog where they can get information about different topics that I've talked about.
And you can also become a patient of Dr. Jill Baron. She practices in Manhattan. But do you also do virtual consults these days? Because people...
I am doing them, yes. I am doing some virtual consults, yes, yes. It's always better to examine someone because there are limitations. Mm-hmm. But yep. For people who can't make it in, at least, you know, the first visit, I can do virtually, yes, yes. I also have some videos on my site of some talks I've given, and yes.
Good stuff. Well, thanks for boiling it down for us. I mean, it's very timely. Don't Mess with Stress, A Simple Guide to Managing Stress by today's guest, Dr. Jill Baron. Her website, drjillbaron.com, correct?
Yes, that's correct. One R in Baron, yes. And Dr. Hoffman, thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity. And it's been a great experience with you. Thank you so much. And hope we've helped some people.
Well, thank you so much. Great conversation. And we're certainly kindred spirits on these subjects.
Yes.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. But vetting your sources and tracking down the exact products you need can be a hassle. That's why I'm inviting you to browse my online supplement dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. My specially curated professional-grade supplements are fulfilled via the FullScript network. FullScript is the safest and most convenient way to purchase my medical-grade supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant, and offers world-class support. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free FullScript account. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.